whatever's going on in the news at the moment.
Hold on, I better just set me doodah. I haven't prepared at all. There we go. So where are you? In London, no?
No, Manchester. I live in Manchester.
That's not a Manchester accent.
No, I'm originally from Northern Ireland, but this car park outside my building is the car park for the Bridgewater Hall, which is usually completely full.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a bit of a ghost town the past week.
That's not even an Northern Ireland accent. What is that? That's Northern Ireland mixed with North England or something.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah. North Ireland mixed with the North, with Cheshire, really.
With Cheshire and China.
Yeah.
So you were in China a lot, you said?
Yes.
Doing what?
I spent 11 years. Originally, I went there as an English teacher.
Oh.
I studied the language really hard, so I was conversant within a year and could read a newspaper within 2 years.
Yeah.
And the second year, I lived in a small city in the middle of the country, say the equivalent of living in somewhere like Arkansas or Oklahoma.
What was it called?
Changde in Hunan province.
Oh.
And the only form of entertainment, really, was karaoke. So I went to karaoke almost every night, and that's where my Chinese songwriting grew. But as with any art form, in the first few years, anything you attempt probably won't be that good. Yeah. So I started writing Chinese language songs in November 2008, and in February 2012, it just suddenly struck me to start writing comedy songs, and that's when things started to go my way. That's when I started to build up an audience.
Chinese comedy songs, or just...
Yeah. I also love that. I also write and perform comedy songs in English.
Oh. But is the sense of humour different? It must be, surely.
Very, very. My English comedy songs are often quite foul-mouthed, use a lot of swear words, not to the extent of Cunt and the Gang, who's one of my favourite musical comedians. but my Chinese songs tend to be offensive in a different way. They sort of satirise culture and society, cultural phenomena.
Is that a good idea in China?
Well, people are more open-minded than you would imagine, and there's a feature in the China Daily about my songwriting, and I was also interviewed on television, and where I also performed.
Wow, China Daily. When was that? That's serious stuff.
Yeah, the article is called "Comical Crooner," and
well, what's the Chinese word for crooner? Clooner.
Gershaw. So, literally, singer is literally song hand. Gershaw.
And does song han mean something separate?
No, so han sort of means expert, like China hand, yeah. Or an old hand.
And so have you got a cult following in China then?
Well, I have fans, a lot of people who dig my stuff because most songs, the vast majority of pop songs are just love songs.
Yeah.
And the other type of song that's very popular in China is the patriotic song that glorifies the Communist Party and stuff.
Yeah.
Mine is just a sort of, my style is so different, just a massive slap in the face to the very idea of being populist that some people really dig it. At first, you know the theory of the second dancer?
No.
So when you just start dancing in the middle of the street, then of course you're a madman. But if someone joins you, then suddenly you have a bit of a flash mob. So I've been writing songs in Chinese for over 3 years by the time I got my second dancer, who was her name was Jen Li. She was an opera singer and also a Mandarin teacher and also an academic. And she was the first person to really like my stuff. So when the China Daily were researching the article about me, they interviewed her. And another person who really liked it was... A literary translator called Bruce Humes. He's very well respected in his circles, and he loves the satire.
Yeah.
But in terms of actual, I don't often get the chance to perform my songs in public now because I live in Manchester and there aren't many Chinese people who come to the open mics, but I perform my own comedy songs at open mics. I also do covers. I perform the occasional cover of Cunt and the Gang songs. I also have a version of Fuck Sticks, but I completely rewrote the lyrics because I don't like writing about family members, real or fictional, songs about his granddad.
Have you tried rewriting doing covers of him, his songs in Chinese?
I did a Chinese version of Women Love a Bastard, which is to the tune of the one that's to the tune of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, because the Chinese expression "nan yan bu huai, nu yan bu ai," literally "men aren't bad, women don't love." It's just too catchy to not write a song about, so I had to.
Because I've always told Cunt that what he should do is just clean up his words, and his songs are brilliant. His songs are great pop songs. I mean, they sell anyway.
That's why I love him. He's the most one of the most technically brilliant songwriters of the early 20th century, 21st century. But his he can't even get mentioned on the radio, let alone played on the radio. And I just find that hilarious in and of itself. It reminds me a bit of the android in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, who's the most intelligent being that has ever existed. And people think, wow, this being is gonna come and cure cancer and bring about world peace. But actually, all it does is just spend all its time in a deep depression because it's so aware of the meaninglessness of life that it just does nothing. And that's the sort of the nihilism behind Cunt and the Gang is a bit like that. He's so brilliant that he's just too brilliant to even care about being commercially successful.
But
he managed, he earned a living from that for 8 years. It's as amazing as any rags to riches story.
I think it's just got, I don't know why he stopped. I think he's just got bored or something. I don't know. I mean, I talked to him recently. I think maybe he's just got bored. I don't know. But why did you interview him? You interviewed him, you said.
No, I've been in touch with him because I wrote a Chinese version of one of his songs. So we just got chatting online. But I've never met him in person.
Which song did you write?
Women Love a Bastard.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And the Chinese version is called Nan Yuan Bu Huai, Nu Yuan Bu Ai. Men aren't bad, women won't love them.
And is that online somewhere?
I can show you. It's not one of the...
Just tell me the title and I'll find it. It's on YouTube, is it?
Yeah, it's not going in the album because on the album I'm only putting entirely original songs. So, and obviously that the melody comes from Mary Poppins, so I can't.
Oh, of course, yeah. But you said you started off doing English as a foreign language in China. That means you didn't end up doing that.
No, so the first 3.5 years I was teaching English, and then 2 years I was in the media. I was in a newspaper, and that's what helped me get the contacts to end up getting into China Daily.
And which newspaper? A local one?
Shenzhen Daily, a local newspaper.
Is that the commercial place next to Canton, Guangzhou?
It's a special economic zone next to Hong
Kong. Yeah, yeah. That's a brand new build, isn't it? It didn't exist before, then suddenly they decided to build it, didn't they? So were you accepted? No, why did you leave?
So I left. I did 2 years of that newspaper, and then I left, and then I missed it, so I went back. So from 2014 to 2018, I was working for a massive Chinese company for 4 years.
What sort of company?
MIDEA, MIDEA.
What do they do?
Home appliances.
Oh, I see.
And massive air conditioning systems as well.
And you simply work, because you're obviously a creative person, you didn't really want to work for them as such, you just wanted to work in China, did you?
I quite enjoyed them, because same as Cutting the Gang, I don't intend to really monetize my creative work, so I like to have a steady job that gives me the material basis to be able to be creative.
Yeah.
Because you can't be creative if you don't have a roof over your head and clothes on your back.
So it is a vacation, not a money-making proposition.
Yes. And I was planning to hold a launch party for my album in April, which I've obviously had to cancel. So, but two albums.
Yeah.
And I had to cancel that.
What were you going to do at the launch party?
Well, I had a few support acts, comedians, as support acts, stand-up comedians, and I was going to play a set, and just the same as just walk around selling CDs afterwards.
Yeah.
But also my stuff's online as well. So.
And then this was in Manchester.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between last week's album and this week's album?
So last week the English album went online, and tomorrow the Chinese album will go online.
And how are they different? Just for people who haven't heard.
There's a bit of overlap, because some of my songs are quite fairly PG friendly. The Chinese ones aren't sweary, or they're more satirical.
Yeah.
They satirize aspects of society, like mistresses, like wealthy men who keep mistresses in there. Like there are entire villages in China where pretty much everybody is a kept woman, and migrant workers. And whereas my English songs are usually intentionally lowbrow, they're more toward the cunt-gang end of the scale.
Yeah. So you wouldn't be able to do these Chinese songs in China, presumably. They'd take exception to them, the authorities, wouldn't they?
I did this. My initial wave of creativity in writing Chinese songs came just before Xi Jinping took over as president, and under him, censorship of the media and the blocking of websites has got a lot worse. So. I'm not sure the same thing could be done again. But I used to busk in China. I used to perform on the streets singing my songs in Mandarin. Whoa. And people were very friendly.
I didn't even know that was allowed. So you were under Deng Xiaoping, were you?
Probably wasn't.
You were there under Deng Xiaoping?
Deng Xiaoping died in 1997. The president when I was initially there was Hu Jintao.
Okay, but the Chinese love Yes Minister, don't they, which is actually satirising bureaucracy.
So
there must be an element of liking taking the piss out of your own system, rather low key.
Definitely. Yeah, but there's, it's never, well, I think Yes Minister is a vastly superior show to The Thick of It, because, the characters are a lot more likeable, for a start, and, There's a lot more subtlety to it, and when the Chinese criticise the government, they tend to be very very subtle about it. Like, for example, the Me Too movement, when that broke in 2017, the expression for Me Too in Mandarin Chinese is 我也是, I also am, but all internet posts with 我也是 were censored, were taken down. So the way to get any kind of subversive message across is to always stay one step ahead of the censors. So the hashtag MeToo, the equivalent in China, is an image of a bowl of rice and the image of a rabbit, because me is the word for rice and too is the word for rabbit. So Me Too. This rabbit sounds very similar to the English expression Me Too.
And is there any logical explanation about why people should be talking about rice and rabbits to the authorities?
It's just because it sounds very similar to Me Too.
No, I mean, so, if you get asked by the police why you're doing this, have you got an explanation about, oh, it's innocent?
Well, I'm not actually too... you're not breaking the law by... Save me. I mean, I'm not insulting any government by name.
But there was some word that wasn't it? Some word, or was it maybe it was North Korea? There was some word that was banned or something because it was so close to the leader's name and it was an insult. I can't remember.
When images of Winnie the Pooh have been banned in China, because people, there's this paranoia that he looks like Xi Jinping. One of the social issues in China that people is that, that people are very critical because it's more accept. People are more accepting when a Chinese person is critical of their own country, and because China has emerged from poverty in such a short time that Chinese people who travel abroad tend to be the first person in the history of their family to have traveled abroad.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who work in the tourism industry around the world have complained about the bad behavior of Chinese tourists, like people graffitiing on ancient monuments or stealing the cutlery from in-flight meals or spitting in public or just behaving generally inappropriately. So I wrote a song about that called Lao Hong, about a man who gets very rich and he travels the world just doing all these really inappropriate things. that's probably one of my personal favourites of my own Chinese songs.
I always thought spitting was quite sensible, but it suddenly, because I was there, I can't remember the years, but I was there like 1984, 1985 or something. I was there two consecutive years and it stopped the spitting in between the 2 years.
Yeah, well, according to traditional Chinese medicine, as swallowing mucus or saliva is bad for you.
I think it dies. Any nastiness dies on exposure to the air. So it seemed eminently sensible to me. I haven't taken it up in my local Borumud place, but you know.
Yeah.
So, when you had to become Chinese, as it were, to live in China, what sort of, how did you change yourself? You must have had terrible Western habits that you had to. Drop.
Yeah, the way people communicate, there's a lot more subtlety to it. That, in a country like America or Australia, where people came from different parts of the world, and they grew as a nation state in a very short time, the only way to get by was to be very direct. So Americans and Australians tend to be quite direct, but in China, a much larger percentage of communication is unspoken, and it's so much is about context and reading between the lines, whereas Westerners just tend to speak their mind a lot more, or criticizing people as individuals is generally very taboo in China, so you generally shouldn't.
Sort of like Japanese politeness, isn't it? But different. I know somebody who went to Japan and she was treated as Japanese once she got there. But and they always came out at meetings of Westerners saying how awful it was because Westerners would look in their eyes rather than avoid their eyes. And yeah. That's going nowhere because that's not the Chinese at all. So the middle bit of China where you lived, which was out of the way, was that Han Chinese or was that someone else?
Yeah, I always lived in Han majority place. The Shaoshu Minzu, ethnic minorities, I think the only two provinces that aren't a Han majority are Tibet, which is...
Tibet. Controversial, yes.
Yes, and Xinjiang in the far northwest, where the majority is a Muslim Uyghur.
Ah, they're the people who we don't talk about, who are not really being persecuted.
Yes, they're being kept in concentration camps.
Forbidden
from there. Owning online devices and that type of stuff.
So, are you worried there's going to be a knock on your door from some little Chinese man saying, "Hello, we've been reading your stuff in Beijing, chummy"?
If it happens, it happens.
Yeah. I mean, you're presumably persona grata. You can still go back to China if you wanted to.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
And you still got acquaintances and friends there?
Very much so.
So you must miss it, I think.
Yeah, well... isn't there an old expression that I'm not sure who said it, but you better, if you're going to tell the truth to people, you damn well better make them laugh, otherwise they'll kill you.
Excellent.
Fortunately, most people find my lyrics funny, so they don't get that offended.
But foreigners are long-nosed foreign devils, aren't they?
Yeah. Ah, Yizi is big nose. Yan Guizi is foreign devil. It's a slightly old-fashioned expression by now, but the Cantonese word Guilao is still very commonly used.
Mm.
Devil person.
Oh, is Cantonese separate from Mandarin?
Yeah, very different. Completely different.
Oh, so you had to speak at least the two languages then?
No, I never really learned Cantonese. I can only speak a bit.
Hmm. Because in Syria, everyone has to speak Mandarin, don't they? Although I suspect they don't. Yeah.
But all education is in Mandarin.
You see, I always wondered about television, because television is in Mandarin, isn't it?
Yes.
And in any outer-lying places, like the Muslim places, they don't really speak Mandarin particularly, do they?
If they will have strong accents if they speak it. But also, all Chinese television has subtitles in Chinese characters because they don't, you never know whether someone, you know, they might live in a very remote province and might not really understand Mandarin all that well. Yeah. So,
and the characters are universal, they're the same characters.
Yeah.
So I'm getting off the subject of plugging your fine work. So what comes after this? You've got two albums out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So next week you've got four albums out, have you?
Well, I've already got... I'm going to dust off some old songs from the back catalogue, and they will provide the backbone to the new album. Because there's some songs that I've kind of neglected, so I'm going to revisit them and rewrite them and try to make them good enough for the next album. But in the meantime, with all this solitude, I think I'm going to step aside from comedy music for a bit and record an album of film soundtracks on my guitar. I play the guitar.
British films. Western film soundtracks.
Yeah, yeah. The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, The Magnificent Seven, Once Upon a Time in the West, Rocky, The Great Escape. Just because I find it rewarding.
There was one point in one of the videos you sent me or linked to, there was one point where you appeared to be wearing some sort of cowboy top. Was that my imagination?
No, there is one where that was, I think it was a song called I Hate Hunan the Least, where it just, because it was making fun of it, because when a foreigner wants to become famous for writing Chinese songs, they will usually cover some Mandopop love song or sing a Red song, some song glorifying China or the Communist Party. So I thought I'd turn the idea on its head, and that song is called I Hate Hunan the Least, Hunan Province, and it just mentions every province and something about it, and then the chorus is I Hate Hunan the Least. just to subvert all those suck-ups who try to endear themselves to the Chinese people.
I seem to remember the Chinese had a rather worrying love of country and Western.
The John Denver is huge there. Patsy Cline, would she constitute being country?
Dolly's
big.
But there's something about the Chinese accent, which when you do country and western, it's good for country and western, don't they?
Yeah, it is.
Could you become a country and western star in Hunan? Well, that's the point. Are you regionally popular in China? Like, you're popular in one bit but not the other bit, or don't you know because it's the internet?
I don't know.
You should do a tour.
Well, getting visas, to get a visa to tour. Well, in the mid-2000s, Bjork ruined it for a lot of people because she was giving a concert in Shanghai, and just at the end of one of her songs, I think she was singing It's Oh So Quiet, and then just as the song ended, she shouted, Free Tibet! So now they're very strict about who they will allow to perform, especially in a big arena. Yeah. So.
I saw a concert in Chongqing, which was very strange, because if they liked it, they clapped, and if they didn't like it, total silence. Westerners just clap everything down to politeness, but they if they don't like you, they don't like you.
Yeah, that would happen.
Did you ever perform to a largish audience in China?
Yes, but not my comedy songs, because I was invited to play in large halls, just as a sort of a token Westerner who would, and I would perform Chinese language songs, but they would usually, well, there would be families there, so I would just perform something, whatever was in the charts at the time.
And how did they clap you?
I think they were genuinely enthusiastic, and they would throw flowers as well, but flowers only last a few weeks, so not that.
This would surely mean the early acts would get lots of flowers, and the last acts wouldn't get any flowers because they'd all been used up, you would think.
Yeah, it was. I thought of that. I think I was the first time I played in front of a large audience, I was the final act. Just because of the sheer novelty of having a foreigner sing in their language, they would nobody would want to follow that on stage.
Well, they just kept their flowers for you, obviously. You were popular in advance.
Yeah.
How did you get your head around the I'm not a musical person, but the chord changes. I mean, the Chinese chords are totally different. The way songs are done are totally different to Westerners.
The
chord sequences.
So, as a teenager, most of my musical heroes were the 90s Britpop acts like Pulp and Blur. So it took a while to grasp. The Chinese put a really strong emphasis on melody. So the four melodic steps are qi, cheng, zhuan, he. So qi means rise, cheng means step, zhuan means spin, and he means unite. So qi, cheng, zhuan, he. So bands like Radiohead or the Manic Street Preachers would never be that popular in China because they don't follow this strict melodic structure. Oasis, the same. Something like the Carpenters, for example, are really good with this melodic structure. So, da 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 da, chi da 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 da, chang da 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 da, duan da da da, ha. So that four-step melody is very important to gain mastery of that before you can write songs in Chinese.
And like I said, I'm not musical, but is that part of the reason they like country and western? Is country and western somehow structured in a sort of Chinese-minded way?
Yeah, it is. Because the melodies tend not to be very subversive, which they dig.
Well, what's a subversive melody?
Most things by Radiohead. A lot of Leonard Cohen stuff would be considered too subversive.
God almighty.
even Bob Dylan isn't popular at all there because, he can't really sing for a start.
Well, he can't sing, he just drone. It's more of a drone, isn't it, really? Well, Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan sort of share a drone sound, don't they? This is because I'm not musical, so I'm interested, but why is country and western more attuned to their tonal system or something?
I just think it's the simplicity, the universality of it. I wouldn't say it's country and western is particularly Chinese friendly. It's just got that universality to it, that purity.
And you were saying Britpop wasn't really ideal. Was there any sort of Britpop music that did go down well? Who were the big? Well, you said the country western people. Who were the big western musical heroes when you were there?
Well, Kenny G is massive, the saxophonist. Boy bands like the Backstreet Boys are really popular, even among 20-something guys. So, and Justin Bieber.
Oh, that's more marketing than anything, isn't it? Yeah. So you must have this sort of schizophrenic creativity that you do a Western album and then you do a Chinese album.
They've both been gestating for a while.
Are there like different parts of your brains that are working to do two totally different musical styles or something?
There is a bit of overlap. There is one song that is barely, not even really a comedy song. There's one or two lines that are supposed to be funny, but the one song that's pretty much the lyric is basically "Tell Me the Truth About Love" by W.H. Auden, slightly changed, and there's an English version and a Chinese version that are you can't translate these things directly because there are cultural differences and all that, but the two activities feed into each other quite a lot, and many of the Chinese songs, some of them, they're melodies that have been kicking around in my head since I was a teenager. that I never found quite the right lyric for. But I think one of my biggest strengths as a Chinese language songwriter is in English. I've been writing songs since I was 14, and I'm very immersed in the tradition, and I'm very aware of the figures whose footsteps I'm trying to follow in, all these great songwriters like Paul Simon and Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen. In Chinese, aside from going to karaoke, I was largely pretty ignorant of whose footsteps I was following in, so I had that freedom to explore and generally be unaware of what rules I might be breaking.
Yeah. And do you have any problems getting your music heard in China online? Because, I mean, they block blogs. I suspect I'm not widely read in China.
I didn't originally, but within a year of the Beijing Olympics, which was supposed to be China's coming out party, they blocked YouTube, Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
I used to, back when blogging was big in the early 2010s, I had quite a popular blog, and I had a decent audience then. I would get tens of thousands of hits on average for a video, but I never managed to monetize that, but I did. But now, with the internet being more heavily censored, and pretty much all Western websites are now blocked in China, like the New York Times, the BBC, that it's harder now to get my stuff heard.
So how do you get, and unless you don't want to tell the Chinese this, how do you get it heard? What sort of sites do you put it on, if it's safe to say?
Youku and Tencent, QQ Video, which are just equivalents of YouTube, but they're video sharing sites, but they're Chinese owned. Youku is owned by Alibaba, a massive Chinese company, and QQ Video is owned by Tencent, another massive Chinese company. And they, I mean, if you have put, they're not as censorious as some people might imagine. You can get almost anything on there, unless it's sexually explicit or violent, and my stuff isn't, so it's not a problem.
But satire's okay. I mean, sarcasm or satire is okay. Against the authority.
A lot of my stuff is beyond bad taste. It's too silly to even be offensive.
Ah.
That's how I get away with it.
So you're not offensive. You're silly, which is good.
Yeah.
In their view.
Because when I started out, I'd only been learning the language. When I started writing songs in Chinese, I'd only been learning the language for 18 months.
Yeah.
So my pronunciation wasn't perfect.
Oh, yes.
And also the novelty of having a white person singing in Chinese would just be awful to people. So most people were just laughing at my attempts. So after a while, I just realized, well, I've got to try to turn this weakness into a strength. If people are laughing at my attempts, then I might as well try to make people laugh. And that's how it started.
Did you find it easy to learn Chinese? Because I know somebody did it and said it wasn't as difficult as the Chinese made it out to be. They were just pretending it was that difficult. The tonal stuff.
I teach it now professionally. I have a few adult clients, and there's obviously any language is going to take a lot of time and effort, but grammatically, I think it's very accessible. The pronunciation's hard.
But the whole point being tonal is a problem, isn't it? Because you can say the same thing in a different tone, it means the opposite.
Yeah, the tones take some getting used to, but once you're used to them, then it's fine. There's a few, all languages have a few niggling, annoying details to take care of, like European languages where every object is male or female. That's quite annoying. Chinese has nothing like that. So in many respects, Chinese grammar is a lot more accessible than any European language.
I mean, I think English must be a nightmare because it's all over the place. but you're in Manchester. There is a Chinese community in Manchester, isn't there? Or is that just a tourist bit?
Yeah, there is. I have a very small following of Chinese people in Manchester. But when I perform here, it's my English songs that I perform because there's a much larger audience for them.
Well, what are the Chinese doing in Manchester? Is it something to do with Liverpool being a port or something in the 19th century or whatever?
That's how the earliest Chinese came to the UK.
Yeah.
But Manchester has a massive Chinatown. Most Chinese people here are students. But there's also the BCEGI, which is a Beijing-based company. They built the new Manchester Airport City. So that their headquarters, their European headquarters, are in Manchester. So, and they're quite a big employer. A lot of big Chinese companies just have operations in the UK, and Manchester is as good a place as any to base them.
Who are you working for now? Chinese company?
I'm freelancing.
I'm teaching.
So I'm not too badly affected by all the upheaval because I've just moved my teaching to online.
Yeah.
So I'm teaching Chinese and creative writing and the guitar to various clients.
This is apropos nothing. I've never asked. There's no Chinese areas anywhere. I mean, you can sometimes get Indian areas or West India. There's no sort of Chinese areas. I mean, there used to be in Limehouse in London, used to be Chinese area, and there isn't a Chinese area now. I don't know where they all live. They all scatter all over the place or something.
Yeah, that's why they're quite a successful immigrant group. Yeah. So they don't ghettoize as much as some people.
I mean, someone said the other day, quite right, you go to some piddling little village in the middle of nowhere in England, and it's going to be an Indian restaurant and a Chinese takeaway for some reason. And why the Chinese always do takeaways and the Indians always do restaurants, I never quite understood. There must be some cultural reason, but who knows?
I never thought about that.
Yeah. And it's like, that's one of the bizarre things. Okay, is there any sort of back catalogue or anything or websites I should pay more attention to for plugging your stuff?
Well, there's the article in China Daily. There's
And so I just look for your name and China Daily, do I? And it'll turn up.
Yeah. And when I gave the TV interview in 2013, my then girlfriend was standing right behind the camera, so I might well have been lying my arse off. So.
About what?
I don't think anybody likes seeing themselves on camera, so I've never been able to bring myself to watch the video.
Well, if your girlfriend, you'd be well photographed, you look nice.
Well, yeah. But it was about my satire. Yeah. And it was about how and why I came to write controversial songs in the world's largest authoritarian state.
Good phrase. So are you pining for China? Would you like to go back there?
Well, I think what's happening now is going to start a recession worse than 2008, so it might become necessary after a while.
Well, there are, was it 500 cinemas opened today in China, so they're just coming out of it as we're about to go into it.
Yeah, well, there will be a relapse in China now that people are going back into big public spaces, but it won't be as bad as the initial wave, I don't think.
I'm happy with all that. Apart from what you've told me already in emails, is there anything I should be linking to?
No, I don't think so. Just
I can't remember. You've not got your own website, have you? I can't remember.
I have, yeah.
Oh, God, and it's in an email somewhere, obviously, yeah.
No, I don't think it is. It's kevinmcgeary.com without a www. That contains quite a lot of my output.
Yeah.
I also am an essayist and short story writer.
Very, very good. How did you do that? That's very impressive. You're a technical person.
I just clicked on. I'm not a technical person at all.
No, it didn't matter. I was impressed. It came up as a blue screen with the website in the middle. Very exciting.
One of the reasons I learned the language so quickly was because I didn't have a computer for the first 2 years in China, and there were no smartphones in those days, so it was a very, very immersive experience.
Why did that help?
Because I wasn't spending all my time distracted by the internet.
That's a point. So presumably if you use computers in China, you must have to be able to vaguely understand English, because they can't have Chinese keyboards, can they?
But the way, there's a romanized system of writing Chinese, and that's how they type the language. So pinyin.
So there's a limited number of characters.
What's happened now? Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can see you and hear you perfectly. Nothing changed for me.
There's many, many thousands of characters, but to type the language, you just use the romanized system called pinyin.
And it's got vague sort of Roman shapes.
So that's just me saying, hello, I'm Kevin, in Chinese. So you, when you type a word in pinyin, a number of possible characters will come up. And
oh, I see.
You click on what character it is.
God, must piss you off. You poor little Chinese people getting pissed off with all that. Anyway. Okay, so I'm a happy bunny. I shall put this online at some point and tell you. in the near future. And on your website, and are we Facebook friends? I can't remember.
Yeah, we are.
So I'll nick pictures from there. If there's any pictures you think are particularly wonderful, then send them to me. I'm not going to find on your website or your Facebook.
Okay.
Have you got any pictures of you doing Chinese music or something? I mean, being in China doing music or anything?
I used to perform on the street, but that was...
Oh, yes.
10 years ago, so I don't think there's any footage of that going around anymore.
Sure, sure. Well,
there will be long-lost camera phone footage from various people, but...
Surely you must have been stopped, because, I mean, they've got people in every block, haven't they? Even though people... Are there loads of buskers in China?
No, not at all.
But you must be some sort of bizarre alien, then. Oh, but you are an alien, but some bizarre alien, just...
Yeah, that's why I got away with it, because my stuff was just so off the wall.
They have people in every block of flats and every block of the neighbourhood, don't they? Party people.
Urban administrators.
Yeah.
Yes, but they're not really very powerful, and they're only there to stop violence or actual crime.
Yeah.
And I wasn't committing a crime, so.
Yeah. Did you ever go to North Korea? Always a question.
No.
No, I recommend it highly. they are mad. Anyway. Okay. Right. Well, that's been terribly enjoyable. Anything else you think I've missed?
No, but I'll send a follow-up email today.
That's great. Wonderful. Okay. Okay. Enjoy your sort of self-imposed exile there.
I'll survive.
Okay.
But thanks for taking the time.
Oh, thanks for contacting me. Okay, bye.
See you. Bye.